Welcome to Techonomics on KGO 810. Long gone are the battles between Apple and Microsoft, but Microsoft may have a new adversary in Google. At Google's Next conference, the software giant launched a raft of business software that takes aim at Microsoft's Office 360. Host Jason Middleton chats with a senior analyst about the new products and strategy coming out of Mountain View.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Techonomics. I'm the host and my name is Jason Middleton. Google has come out swinging with a new suite of Office software that seems to squarely aim at taking market share, eventually, away from Microsoft's Office 360. It takes a while for enterprises to pivot to new, just about anything, really, whether it's software or hardware, very conservative approaches, so Microsoft has not lost its head start. But Google, being a consumer brand with friendly interfaces and quick results, may appeal to more and more businesses, especially as those businesses move more and more to cloud servers and cloud computing.
They're spending a lot of money. One of the figures they threw out is that over the last, I think it was 3 or 4 years, they've spent $30 billion with a B in the cloud and enterprise space, making a lot of this stuff work.
I grabbed a senior analyst during the Google Cloud Next conference to get his take on what Google has been skunkworking in Mountain View and what it's now putting into the marketplace.
Jack Gold, JDAC Gold Associates, president and principal analyst.
And frequent flyer to San Francisco.
And frequent flyer. My body knows that.
You know, you and I have been speaking on the phone for, you're in Boston, I'm here, and we've been speaking on the phone for 3.5 years. This is my second show that you've been featured on several times because I lean on you for your analysis on this. It's so nice to meet you in person.
All right, thank you. Good to meet you as well.
And you talk about Microsoft with me a lot. You talk about Google with me a lot. You talk about Yahoo with me a lot when they went through their recent soap opera.
Continuing soap opera.
Well, that's true, too. With Google, what are kind of your takeaways? This is hot in your mind, right?
So my thoughts are very, very interesting. Google has always been known as a consumer play, right? It's a search company. It's an ad service. But what they're really doing now is trying to up the game and get into the enterprise. They want to be a cloud provider of enterprise services. They want to go head-to-head with Microsoft. They want to go head-to-head with AWS,
oof,
Amazon, yeah. They even want to take on, IBM and Oracle and all the rest of the world. And they're starting with a whole bunch of services that they've been using themselves internally,
okay,
which people really didn't even know about. And they've staffed up. They've got some real enterprise salespeople. What was really interesting is when I went into the conference, you know, they had a separate analyst track for us. And I actually saw some people that had gray hair, which for Google is pretty impressive because, you know, usually you're seeing 20-somethings.
Yes, right? Yes.
They brought in Diane Green, who was one of the co-founders of VMware, for instance, to run the group. And so there's some real talent there. They sounded very credible. A year ago, 18 months ago, when I talked to Google, they didn't sound credible at all when they were going after the enterprise. They really have products now. They're going after Office 365 directly. They're going after the Skype world with Hangouts. They're going after security in the cloud. They're doing a lot of good stuff that I think will get noticed. Now, the question becomes, are they going to play an undercut the pricing game, which no one really wins at,
right,
long term? Although Google's got a lot of money, it's certainly not a problem. They can certainly subsidize it for a very long time.
Right, exactly.
But
this could be a lost leader, is what you're saying, for a while until they get a really good position in the market.
It could be. It could be. I don't know if that they're going to do. They've done that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see how that works. Frankly, if I were Microsoft, I'd be looking over my shoulder pretty hard right now.
Mm.
There are credible competition in enterprises.
Well, this is going to be fun because Satya has really kind of set the world on fire up there in Redmond.
He's done a fantastic job. You know, if there were an Oscar for best CEO in a turnaround, he should get it. I mean, he's done wonders in the last, 2.5, 3 years he's been there.
Well, happiness is a low bar because Steve Ballmer thought the iPhone wasn't going to go anyplace.
Yeah, well, you know, we won't go into Ballmer.
All right, fine. That's fine. We'll let him have his NBA team.
I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, okay. No, we won't go into Ballmer. Satya, also, let's stick with Satya for a second because I see him pivoting the company pretty deeply into democratizing artificial intelligence. Is Google mentioning that this week?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
Google wants to be the artificial intelligence and machine learning vendor of choice.
So it's pushing DeepMind back out there.
They're doing lots of stuff from the perspective of making it more accessible to people. So what they're doing is they're linking with your search, internal search, for instance, in the enterprise. So you've got a whole bunch of stuff on your machine or in the cloud. Mm-hmm. You want to know where's that tape that I just did with Jack Gold, or I did 6 months ago, 9 months ago, I can't find it. They're going to find it for you. They're using artificial intelligence to look at videos, just looking on your hard drive or your cloud drive and saying, okay, where's the video? What happened to the video of that bridge in Santa Barbara that I filmed 16 years ago and I can't find?
Okay.
They'll actually find it for you. So they're doing a lot of stuff around artificial intelligence, machine learning. They really want to be a leader in that space, and they want to take on IBM with Watson.
Yes. And Watson has a bit of a head start, but, you know, since Google bought DeepMind, they played catch-up pretty quick, I guess.
They've got a lot of resources they're throwing at it. They're spending a lot of money. One of the figures they threw out is that over the last, I think it was 3 or 4 years, they've spent $30 billion with a B in the cloud and enterprise space, making a lot of this stuff work. So Google has Android, and they have Chrome. And they see Android and Chrome serving two slightly different needs, but basically they are the, you know, the hardware front end. They're the glass into the Google Cloud. Not exclusively Google, because you can do other things with it.
Good metaphor.
But that's what they're really looking at.
Okay.
Right? It's a hardware piece of glass. It's your view. It's your window into the Google Cloud. And so as they push more and more technology out to consumers, they're also hoping that some of that will take hold in the enterprise space, because consumers, you know, you use your phone and there's something on your phone that you like and you want to be able to use it in business. So they hope it'll work into the business space as well.
Mm.
That's how Skype got started. That's how a lot of different services got started.
I have you in that chair. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask something that I didn't prep you for. I hope you're ready. Twitter. I've asked some people who sat in that seat over the last few weeks, is there a price point for Twitter to be sold? And I'm told around 11 bucks and change seems to be what's rolling around per share, seems to be rolling around the valley right now, that if it got to that point, that somebody might pick it up.
Yeah, I don't know what the right price point would be. I mean, the problem with Twitter is that people want to pick up companies that are growing, that have that are increasing their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter is just kind of stable right now. That's not really going up much. It's, you know, it varies a little bit, goes up, goes down, fluctuates.
Right.
So what are you buying? You're buying a stable base, which means that there may not be a lot of upside. So where is that balance? And I'm not sure where that fits. And also, who's going to want them?
I think a PE firm might pick it up because I think it's fat around the middle. I think it's got a lot of overhead with its staffing. I think its staffing could come down, and then you could put it at a realistic market cap and then still run it as a basic function. And I think you could still churn out quarterlies on that premise alone. What do you think?
I agree with you. Look, they've got a huge install base. You know,
yes.
Even though it's not growing, I don't know what the numbers are anymore, but there's many millions of people using Twitter.
Right.
If you can monetize that, which they're trying to do, and they haven't done a great job of, but there's potential there, then you can have a pretty nice little revenue stream, even or maybe even a big revenue stream, even though it may not be growing. You know, it may not be Facebook. It's
right.
Okay.
Right.
Not everyone's going to be Facebook. Not everyone's going to have, you know, a couple of billion users.
Well, because Facebook handled its transition from dream to business very well. I mean, they really got into the market and they were really smart about it. And that's why Facebook is Facebook right now. It's not just because of the functionality and because they poached things from Snapchat.
I agree with you. I think they ran their business very well. I'm not honestly a big fan of Facebook from a usability perspective, right? So when I try to get information, I want to get it now. And they've done a masterful job of using that and generating revenue. I mean, the bottom line is how much money can I generate per head? And Facebook does a pretty good job of it. Twitter has not. Twitter has not done a great job of that.
Let's keep going around the horn then.
Okay.
Snap, parent company to Snapchat.
Right. What people really want from an investment perspective is if you're investing in a company, you want barriers to entry. Well, the only barrier to entry really right now is, you know, you've got installed base, right? So you've got people that are using it.
Yes.
So that's fine.
Okay.
But if you come up with a better product, you know, the cost of a user to switch to another product is near zero. And that's part of the problem.
Very fluid base.
Right. So from an enterprise perspective, I'll get back to the enterprise piece, right?
Yes.
So one of the reasons why Microsoft has maintained customer base for a very long time is the cost of switching is high. It's not just physical dollars, but it's also retraining people and changing infrastructure and all that kind of stuff. From a consumer perspective, what's the cost of you switching from, let's say, Microsoft Internet Explorer browser to Chrome browser?
Mm-hmm.
Near zero.
Yeah.
And if Chrome is better, you're going to use Chrome. It's that simple.
Right.
A lot of these technologies are very similar. Facebook has a loyal following because you have your own group, right? Everyone knows where to find you.
Sure.
And so the cost of switching is pretty high because then you got to reestablish that group and get everyone else to switch.
Absolutely.
For a lot of other of these consumer products, it's not.
That was Jack Gold, the chief analyst and founder of Gold & Associates. Google's workplace platform is cloud, the support and infrastructure it offers to companies for a fee, and worker-facing software like Google Drive and Google X. Microsoft and Amazon, of course, offer cloud services, and by far Amazon's has the most market share. About a third of the internet runs off of Amazon's cloud. Microsoft has had more difficulty in gaining traction in the enterprise cloud space, somewhat because its former CEO did not see trends quite as well as its present CEO, Satya Nadella. I think our guest Jack Gold's takeaway from the Google Cloud Next conference is important. You know Google's serious about cloud because it's hiring an experienced sales force, including those people with gray hair. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.